Dear God, we come to you, our Heavenly Father, our perfect Father, our the one that loves us flawlessly. Lord, we thank you for that. But Lord, we also thank you for our earthly fathers. I know mine had a profound impact on me in such a positive way. Lord, I just thank you for consistency in his life. I thank you for faithfulness. Lord, we are grateful, those of us that have fathers in our lives that have pointed to you and been a blessing. But Lord, I also lift up those for whom Father's Day is a tough day. Maybe there's men here that wanted to be a father and weren't able to. Maybe there are those here that have real serious father wounds from abuse or neglect. We just pray your Spirit would comfort and encourage. And so, Lord, I just lift up our time together as we talk about and honor fathers, as your word teaches us. And Lord, I pray that ultimately we come to you, our perfect Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. There was a moment in sports back in 1996 that I had never seen the video. I missed it. Not a huge professional basketball fan. I'll watch some college basketball, but not much professional. And Michael Jordan, who clearly players of all time, he led his team to their fourth NBA championship. And if you watch the footage of that particular, the end of that particular game, the emotion is overwhelming as he literally falls on the ground, and then they kind of get him up and he goes off to a locker room and just lays in the locker room. You see, his father was murdered during that season. And Michael Jordan, this was the first championship after the loss of his father. And he just was overcome with emotion as he had this victory on Father's Day, 1996, as the world watched. You see, fathers have an incredible impact. Fathers have a powerful role. They can completely transform a family. I love the line that Robert Lewis, who I'm indebted to a lot of what I'm going to talk about today, he's written books, done videos, and I really appreciate him. He has a statement that I love. He simply says this. He says, "Dad is destiny." Dad is destiny. Those of you who are fathers have an incredible opportunity to point your children towards a destiny that is God-honoring and amazing and eternal. I remember years ago being at a Promise Keeper rally, and there were about 40,000 men in a huge stadium. And Pastor Tony Evans, author Tony Evans, got up and he shared the story of the role of his father in his life. And he told about how when he was a little kid, his mother and dad just went at it all the time. He said there was massive conflict. He said, even as a little guy, I thought, there's no way my parents are going to make it. They're going to divorce. It was just ugly, shouting matches. It was just a terrible, terrible situation. And then he said at age 10, a man who was a friend of my dad invited him to church. And he said, my dad went to church and started going to church. And he said, my dad became a Christian. And he completely and radically changed. He was transformed. And he said, but it did not help the marriage, at least not initially. He said, my mom didn't like my dad very much as a saint, but she liked him worse as a saint. And she rode him and would scream at him if he was trying to read the Bible or pray. And yet he continued to love her. And he continued to serve her. And as time went on, finally there was this morning where he was down doing his devotions. He was praying and reading the scripture. And she came down. She came down the stairs and she talked to him and she confessed how, like, she just said, how can you do this? How can you love me when I have been so awful to you? And she said at some point in that conversation with her husband, Tony Evans' dad, she said, I want what you have. And so she ended up becoming a Christian as well. And Tony Evans said, our home was forever transformed. You see, fathers can have a profound impact. Society is struggling right now and has for quite some time because you see really a fatherless epidemic. You see unfortunately, the impact that fathers can have by looking at where fathers are not. You look at children who are raised without fathers, and the studies are pretty sobering. The research comes back that children in homes without fathers are almost 4 times more likely to be raised in poverty. Children brought up in homes without a father, an engaged father, are 5 times more likely to commit suicide, 9 times more likely to drop out of high school, 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances, 14 times more likely to commit rape if they're boys, 20 times more likely to end up in prison, and 32 times more likely to run away from home. One author calls fatherlessness the societal nuclear bomb. Fathers have a tremendous impact, and if you pull fathers out, it is devastating. If you study the lives of leading atheists, almost always you find a really bad relationship with their father or no relationship at all. And sometimes people will say, well, you know, they'll think, well, maybe the boys. Fathers have a big role there, but not so much with the girls. But I'm telling you, the research is strong on the role and the impact that fathers have on daughters. If dad is there and engaged, the research tells us that usually the daughter is very secure in her identity as a woman. That she will learn and easily relate to the opposite sex. And when she eventually marries, usually she'll have a fulfilling sex life with her husband because her father was there and engaged in her life. Her father loved her, and she learned how to relate to a man. If dad is not there, what they typically find in girls that grow up in homes without dads is they develop personalities that are insecure, anxious, have difficulty forming healthy relationships with men in general. They can become inappropriately self-assertive, like way too much. Not, you know, assertive is good, but way too much. There's usually an undercurrent of anger, or they can become strongly promiscuous. And I think one of the most powerful reminders of the impact of fathers is that for many of us, when we think about God, we think about God through the window of our fathers. I know growing up with a Christian father, a stable father, committed to my mom, committed to the church, committed to the Lord. He wasn't a five-talent guy. He's not, you know, he wouldn't claim that. He just plodded along in faithfulness, loving the Lord, loving his family. And there was a powerful legacy in that. And when I looked at him and I hear about God the Father, I just projected. Faithful, committed, loving. All these things I learned from my dad. Even simple things like my father was a very busy guy. He was a pastor in a large church. And I just remember being a little kid and I'd come up to the table and I'd want to talk to him about something. And it doesn't sound like a big deal, but it was to me because I knew he was busy. And he would take whatever he was doing and he would just scoot it aside and he'd just look at me. He'd listen with his eyes. Powerful. And a father who gave me that attention. So it wasn't a stretch for me to think about, yes, there's billions of people, but our Heavenly Father knows each of us intimately and loves us. So fathers, you have a powerful opportunity here. You can be the very window for your children on how they view God. So how do we leave a powerful legacy, those of us that do have this privilege of being fathers? Well, one, remember that despite the power of culture and society and peer group, those are powerful influencers, that in everything you study, that parents are still the number one influencer over a child's life. Hands down, when you look at it, it may not always feel like that, but it's true. And one of the ways we can leave a powerful legacy, this is true of mothers as well, obviously, is to model godly character. If you're an outline person, this is kind of point A under two, is that you model godly character. There is a father imprint on each of us. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, the scripture says this, "The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them." Paul has a line that I love in scripture. He says, basically, "Follow me as I follow Christ." That kind of dad. I had that kind of a man to look to. I could follow him as he followed Christ. And I need to, and you need to be a person that our children can look at and follow us as we follow Christ. I like what World War II General Douglas MacArthur had this to say about fathering. And he clearly loved his military life, but listen to what he says. He said, "By profession, I am a soldier and take great pride in that fact. But I am prouder, infinitely prouder to be a father. A soldier destroys in order to build. The father only builds, never destroys. The one has the potentialities of death. The other embodies creation and life. And while the hordes of death are mighty, the battalions of life are mightier still. It is my hope that my son, when I am gone, will remember me, not from the battlefield, but in the home, repeating with him our simple daily prayer, 'Our Father, who art in heaven.'" I want to encourage you, Dad, eyes each child looking at you saying, "Don't tell me. Don't just tell me, show me," because kids are watching. You know, there are these moments in politics where a politician doesn't realize a microphone is on. That happens. You know, there are embarrassing moments. They say something that they shouldn't have said. Well, you parents, mothers and fathers, you get this. Your mic is always on. Our kids have done this where Deli and I think we're having a conversation off in the corner of a room, and the 9-year-old will come over and proudly proclaim everything we just talked about. And they're listening and they're watching. And they want to know what you value. And your boys want to know, "Dads, what does it mean to be a real man?" That's a question they're asking, and that's more caught than taught, but they're asking that question. I love the old scripture, Proverbs 22:6. "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." I grew up on the King James, and so it was train up a child in the way they should go. But the idea is that you teach them the right way. Sometimes we'll do baby dedications here, and the mother and father come up, and sometimes the extended family. And the idea is, look, we can't make the decision for this child that they'll follow Christ someday, but we can do everything in our power. We can pray for them. We can teach them. We can do good modeling. We can have them be active in the church so that we are pointing them in the right direction. I give this to you in your notes because I think it's worth thinking about. You fathers, how would you define Christian manhood? What does it mean to be a real man? And I'm not saying this is the end-all answer, but I love what one author says about this, Robert Lewis. I enjoy his material. And I think this is a great definition. It's something that I've used with my sons. It's something this church has used. We've done some events where it's like a boy to man kind of ritual with teenagers. And I remember it with the acrostic REAL, R-E-A-L. And it's simply reject passivity. And he gets that from the story of Adam and Eve where, you know, Eve comes and Eve is deceived and she participates in sin. She eats the forbidden fruit. And when you read the text closely, you see that Adam was right there. He was just passive. He was silent. And so Robert Lewis has lifted that up as part of what does it mean to be a Christian man. It means to reject passivity because there's a temptation for us to kind of just hold back. But we need to be intentional fathers. We need to reject passivity. The E in REAL is to expect God's greater reward. We need to live for, and we need to teach our children to live long term, to think about heaven, think about hearing from God, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The A in REAL is accept responsibility. We live in a society where there's a lot of, you know, claiming the victim. You are responsible for your life. If your child gets that, that's a huge lesson in this culture. That we are responsible for our choices accept responsibility. And the L in real is lead courageously. Teach your boys that they are to be husbands and fathers someday. They're to lead their homes. They're to be the spiritual leaders. They're to set the tone in the home. It shouldn't be the wife who's having to try to drag a family to church. The father should be out front saying, we're going to follow Jesus Christ. We're a Christian family. One author said this, what we desire our children to become, we must endeavor to be before them. We have to lead. And so we have to model godly character. And I see so much of that among the men of this congregation, and you're to be commended. There's another piece that I think is helpful. And obviously, fathering and parenting is complex. There's a lot to it. I can't cover everything. But a second key piece, I believe, is to give the blessing. To give the blessing. You know, the Old Testament patriarchs, they would bring in, now they only did it with the sons. I would say do it with all of your children, obviously. But they would bring in a son and they would lay their hands on their son and they would bless them. And they would speak into their life and say, here's what I see. Here's what I think God has for you. And it's a powerful, powerful gift to have a father bless their daughter or their son. Part of giving the blessing to your child is enjoying your child. You know, just the little things. I mean, how many hundreds of times, we have five children, how many hundreds of times have I heard, watch me, Daddy, and then they do whatever it is. Jim Valvano, a college basketball coach, once said this. He said, my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. See, there is value in giving your child the blessing. It is important that your child hear from you, I love you, I'm proud of you, you're good at, and fill in the blanks. My sister was kind of funny. She would do these goofy, crazy outfits and looks and take yarn and stick it in her hair and look like, I don't know, this Medusa character. And she would go to my parents, and she would go to my dad, and she'd go, would you love me if I look like this? And she'd unveil her hideous thing. And they go, yes, Wendy, we'd love you if you looked like that. One of the ways that I try to give the blessing to my children is we have a little breakfast tradition. And so on their birthday, let me say that right, kids make fun of my old speech impediment. Birthday. On that day, take them out to breakfast, and I write a letter. It's not long. I just write a letter about what I see in the child, where I see them growing, where I see God has gifted them, where they maybe learned a lesson that year. And it just is this simple letter, often a half page. As they get older, it might get a little longer, but just this letter that blesses them, that just says to them, I'm paying attention. I see how God uniquely made you, and I see what he's doing in your life. You're valuable. And at age 16 and age 18, we have a little tradition where we invite other people to write them letters. So like other men who have a connection with my sons would write letters to our sons at their 16th birthday and then their 18th birthday, and we put it all in a binder, and it looks nice, and it's something they can keep and pull out and read over. And it's words of blessing, and it's words of what does it mean to be a man, and this is what I see in you. And for my daughter, we do it with women that are in her life, and they write letters, and we collect those and give those to her at those birthdays. And so that's one of those ways that we just try to give that blessing. And I just want you to know that it really does matter that you have this. Something to consider this fall, I'm going to offer a video series called The Quest for Authentic Manhood. It'd be a great opportunity for you men to go through and get some things, work on what, maybe heal that father wound that you have, because many have it, and invite your teenage sons to come with you. And so I encourage you men to kind of watch for that. And I don't want to dig into that much. I do want to talk a little bit more about the daughters, because I'm not doing a series on that in the fall with a small group. But a father and his daughters is profound. It has a huge impact as well. Here's a little exercise. I encourage you ladies to do this. Maybe you're single and you have a boyfriend, or you're married and you have a husband. I encourage you to take a piece of paper, write down 3 or 4 major traits or characteristics of your husband or your boyfriend. Should not have both, husband or boyfriend. It's one of the big 10. Anyway, and so just a couple traits. Risk taker, gracious, honest. I don't know, you know, what those main traits are. Now, what's fascinating, at least for most women, so you get your list of 3 or 4. Now write top 3 to 5 traits when you think about your father, if he was in your life. And see if there isn't some serious overlap there. It's actually pretty profound. Unfortunately, my wife grew up in a very difficult situation with her father. And yet, I'll claim only the good traits, right? But when I look at his good traits, and I look at the traits I have, there's serious overlap there. The father imprint is not just powerful with your boys. It's huge with your girls. And you fathers have a role on helping a woman become a woman. Now, clearly, mom is going to be their model in that. But there's some things you can speak into. And not that this is the end-all definition, but let me give you what Robert Lewis says about a real woman. I think it's helpful. It's a starting point, something for you to think about. Because I think there's value in stepping back, so you have these little girls in your home, and going, what do I want to see happen in their life? Have we ever done that? What are we aiming for? And here's what he says. It's acrostic, real, something to keep in mind. I adjusted it a little bit, but rejects worldly temptations. That's the R. You want a woman who is not a slave to what the culture is teaching. Rejects worldly temptations. The E is just like over on the guy's side. Expects God's greater reward. This is a person, you want a woman who lives for the long term, lives for eternity, lives to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. The A is accepts God's priorities. And so looks for her unique calling. What is that? How does God want her to live that out? What does he value? He values compassion and truth-telling. And what does he value? And the L is leads through nurturing the next generation. Leads through nurturing the next generation. We're all called men and women to make disciples. But at least for most women, you have the opportunity to have this core calling of being a wife and a mother. Maybe not all women. But even among women that don't marry or don't have children, I still often see them plugging away as school teachers, as youth sponsors, as big sisters in the Big Sisters, Big Brother program. And you see this leadership through nurturing. And there's power in that. There's an old saying that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. You know, if you look at the history of Methodism, that particular branch of the church, and you see these Wesley brothers and the profound influence they had on the world, and you could stop there, or you could go back and look at their remarkable mother and how she invested in them and see she was the driving force, because they didn't have a particularly great relationship with the father. He was distant and much of the time. Sorry, my microphone keeps cutting out. I'm not sure what the deal is. But understand this, that you want to give your children the blessing, your sons and your daughters. And part of that blessing is helping them have, what am I shooting for? What does that look like? And I'm not saying you have to use the Robert Lewis definition. He just did us a favor in stopping to actually think about it, because so many of us are not as intentional. And our children mostly catch things rather than we teach them things. But let's be as intentional as we possibly can. The bottom line is, fathers, every bit of research shows that your daughter will do better in life because you're there. If you're engaged, if you're there, they will do better in life. So I just want to close with this. We have a perfect Heavenly Father. And whatever your relationship is with your father, maybe he's absent, maybe he was abusive, maybe he was amazing, maybe he is, maybe you're in this deep, rich relationship with him. Understand that we have a God who is a father to the fatherless. And even if you had a great example in this life, that is just a pointer, that is just a sign pointing to the ultimate example of a father. I love the Lord's Prayer. It's something I do use in my personal devotion a lot. And it begins with, "Our Father." And I'll often just pray, "Daddy." And for me, that's a powerful picture that the Creator, the ruler of the universe, invites us, in essence, into his lap. And we can talk to him. And he listens to us. And it matters what we say. Now, he's not an indulgent father. He's not going to just say yes to everything. But he's a good, good father. And so I invite you to pray for your children. I'm going to pray for you and the children. I just want you to kind of join me in that, because I think it's one of the greatest gifts we can do is just invite the Heavenly Father to just work in our children's lives. I pray for not just my children, but their children and their children. I pray multiple generations out, because I don't think prayers have expiration dates. If we serve an eternal God, why can't I pray for 3 or 4 generations out? Now, Christ can come back any moment, but I want my family line covered before I go. And so I just want to encourage you to think about that and to invite the great Father into your life, into your kids' lives. So crucial, so important. So join me in prayer. Just bow your heads. Dear God, I just lift up each person here. And we're all coming with different experiences, some very, very challenging, some very deep and rich and beautiful. Lord, I pray that we would appreciate our fathers if they have sown into us, that we would honor them as the scripture says. And Lord, I pray for healing and restoration where that's possible, if a father's still around and that's still an option. And Lord, I lift up the fathers in this room. It is a complex role, juggling work and being a husband and being a father and all these different things that we are called to do. But Lord, help us with the season you give us with these children to sow into them well, to sow truth and to sow intentionally. And most importantly, to invite them into a relationship with you, the ultimate Father. We thank you, Daddy, for loving us. Amen.